2 weeks ago in our reading in Joshua, the walls of Jericho fell down, a story familiar to anyone who ever went to Sunday school as a child, and a story that ought to be familiar to us too. And it would seem that after such a tremendous victory, an incredible, miraculous victory, that God's people would have thought clear sailing from here on out. God has promised us this land, and it looks like it's just going to fall down before us like a house of cards. We come to chapter 7 this morning. We're just going to read the first portion. But you recall as well, not only God's promise to bring down the walls, but God's command, his warning to the people, don't take any of the devoted things. Everything in the city, man, woman, child, beast, all belongs to God. Gold, silver, bronze, iron, all of those things are devoted to God. The first fruits offered to him as they entered the land. But the warning was ignored by one man, a man by the name of Achan. And the whole nation suffered the consequences because God withdrew his blessing because of the disobedience of one person. A great victory at Jericho was followed by a humiliating defeat at a little outpost known as Ai, or Ai, depending on which theologian you listen to. They failed because they were under God's wrath. And in distress and humiliation, Joshua casts himself down before the Lord. And we'll see what his concern is. Not that Israel had gotten beaten, although that was important. But his concern is that if Israel is humiliated, if Israel is defeated, that will reflect badly on God's reputation. What will you do for your great name? Now, there are times today when God's people need to stand with Israel. We sometimes stand there confused and without any idea what God's doing. And it's then that we have no recourse but Joshua's anguished prayer to a God who is often mystifying, to plead both our danger and his honor. We're real good at pleading our need. Not so good at pleading the glory of God's name. So the Lord revealed to Joshua that there was sin in the midst of the people, sin that had to be judged and corrected before God would give them victory. But don't go past that without being reminded again that one person's sin had turned God's presence away from the whole nation. Nothing ought to disturb us more than the loss of God's presence and power among us. And we ought to seek post haste to correct that loss. The only remedy is to uncover the guilty party and destroy him. Yes, destroy him. Yet in wrath, God remembers mercy, for he tells Joshua exactly how to reveal the source of his displeasure. We'll see that next time. But behind this uncomfortable process shines the clear desire of God to restore his people to his favor. You see, when we allow sin to remain in us and in our churches, we declare that we prefer tolerance to the holiness and the glory of God. God is still gracious. God is eager for our repentance and our restoration. He welcomes those who humbly come into his presence and plead for his mercy. I'm going to read again just the first 15 verses of Joshua chapter 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to give us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people and say, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes, and the tribe that the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clans, and the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households, and the household that the Lord takes shall come near man by man, and he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has done outrageous things in Israel." Thus far, the reading in God's word.